First, I'm going to ask for your prayers because I was wrestling all night and I probably got 4 hours of sleep. So pray that the Lord allows me to completely step out of the way and that he uses my body, mind, voice 100% as he wants to share this word that he impressed upon my heart to share and to encourage the people of God. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this family. We thank you for those who are watching online and those who may even be here for the first time. We ask, God, that you would touch each and every person in your special way, knowing what they have need of. We ask, God, that you would deposit something into their soul that would be transformative. Help us to transform. Help us to become more like Christ, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well, not just experiencing your presence, but living and loving your presence. We thank you, God, because you are able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works on the inside of us. I feel my help coming already. Thank you for praying. God, you are magnificent. You're mighty. You're merciful. Your favor exceeds our understanding. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, God, for the measure of health and the strength that you've given us. We don't take it for granted that we're able to assemble together, together in your presence. May you be glorified today, and may your children be edified. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll need a water because I can feel my... Thank you so much. Oh, Lord. God is good. Amen. Amen. God is great. Yes. And greatly to be praised. I remember those songs back in Friendship. I'm not going to sing it, but. Oh, I know. I don't have the voice. In my soul, God is great.
He's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul.
Who knows the verse?
There are many trials on every hand. Trials we cannot understand, but the Lord has given us to know that God is great in my soul.
One more time.
God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great, he's greatly to be praised. God is great. God is great. God is great. God is great. God is great.
God, keep singing that. Keep singing that.
God is great.
Sometimes we need to repeat so it really sinks down in our minds and in our hearts. See, only hearing it 15 times sometimes isn't good enough. But maybe on the 20th time, it connects and you start to remember how he brought you out. And you remember something clicks on the inside. And you say, oh, I do remember how great he is, how awesome he is, how majestic he is, how wonderful he
is.
Hallelujah.
God is great. God is great. In my soul.
Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, see, I was talking to Lisa this morning about, you know, the lack of sleep, and we're going to get to this. Can I take my time this morning? Because I have been here maybe two times this year. So. But I told Lisa this morning, I said, listen, I thought the devil would have learned his lesson to try to disrupt. Because everything that he tries never works. Somebody know what I'm talking about. When the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will what?
Lift up a standard
against him. Yes. But the Bible also reminds us that no weapon shall what? So I said, you know, it reminds me of the song that she played it on the way up here. It's the harder it gets, the harder I praise. So listen, you know, if you want me to be sort of easy with my worship, then don't attack me. Just leave me alone. Let me have a beautiful, perfect week. See, but when you push me, when you press me, you done messed up. See, because you're pressing me one step closer to the throne of grace. With every push, you're just pushing me in the right direction. That's where I want to be anyway. So you know what? Come on. Keep pushing. Because you, you push me into the arms of the Lord. So we're continuing the Mistaken Identity series. I think this is maybe part, I don't know, 7, 6, 8, 9. But I am really, it's been impressed upon my heart to remind and be reminded of who we truly are. Because we have so many descriptors and titles and labels and there's so many things that the world would tell us we are, and we're not that at all. And so the word came to me is just remind and encourage the people of who we truly are. And so today's topic or subject is what's in a name? What's in a name? And I hope by the end of today's message that you will have received two more things that you didn't really see yourself as that you can use as your own personal ammunition when the world or people or you know, even sometimes your own inner thoughts will tell you like otherwise of who you are and you have this rebuttal. So I'm just going to give a recap of what we've talked about so far over the last maybe what year and a half. Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, Uncle Marcus, I know he's on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share all of the verses up front so you can all write them down. We're going to do that.
That will be in order. Thank you so kindly, sir.
So these are the scriptures that we're going to touch on today. Deuteronomy 28:13. Matthew 5:13 and 14. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. 1 Peter 2 and 9. That's chapter 2, verse 9. Our main text, those were our recap scriptures, but our main text will be from Isaiah. It's fitting for the season. 62, verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 33, Just a few more for you. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. And John 15, verse 15. Deuteronomy 28:13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. I'm reading from the King James today. You're welcome, Sister Rose. Matthew 5, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to do some of these scriptures. Matthew 5, 13 through 14, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And the final recap scripture, bringing us sort of full circle, what we've talked about in the previous installments, 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our main text, Isaiah 62, chapter 62, verse 1 through 4. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. I read that and I got excited even before I got to the actual part of the text that I'm talking about. I want to read that again. For Zion's sake, you guys see yourself as Zion, amen? Are we Zion? Will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. God is fighting for you. I'm going to take a little tangent here. I remember growing up watching WWF, that changed to WWE. And sometimes you would have these. I probably need a. Andy, where you at? So, and I need, Brother Cousin, would you come up here if you would be part of this demonstration? And I also need, let me see, someone else. Need a young man. Oh, there we go. He knew I was going to call him. Now this just came to me. So now in in the WWF, right? Now they're on a team. You would have these tag team matches, right? So you would be in your corner. And me and Mark Jr., right? That's what you. Okay. So we're wrestling, all right? And then she's in my corner. And so we're wrestling. Let's act like we're wrestling. Don't hurt me now. I'm kind of okay. So if we're wrestling and let's say that all of you know how fake WWF was, right? I know. And so if I got down and I'm stumbling away and you know, and they would make this part so dramatic, right? Like you got it, if you get to your partner in your corner, your partner can tag in and take your place, and they can continue to fight for you, okay? So they would be, oh, and I can't reach, and I don't know why there's nothing there blocking them, but I can't reach. And then at the very last minute, they're both shaking for some reason, right? And then the person goes, and so then she comes in, and then she takes the place, and so... What I want you to see here is that, let me get back in the corner here. So what happens is when the enemy is coming against you in all of his ways and pushing you and rocking you and coming against your finances, coming against your neighborhood, coming against your job. The enemy is coming against your relationships, coming against your mind. What happens is that we don't have to be here. You have the best, the all-powerful, right here, saying all you need to do is, come on, all you need to do is touch. If you touch me, I take all of that from you. I fight your battle. I stand in the gap. I'm lifting the standard. Thank you. But that's not even what we're talking about today. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. He says, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And here's one of the key scriptures here. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And that word in the Hebrew is defined at the latter part of that scripture. It is a name meaning God's delight. God's delight. You will no longer be forsaken, named forsaken, but you will be named God's delight. And another name to add to our understanding of who we are, according to Romans 8:33, the Bible tells us that we are God's elect. And in Greek, elect is eklektos, meaning chosen, selected, picked out. I'm going to ask you all a question. I want maybe just a couple answers. What is a name? What is a name?
Identity.
Identity? Mm-hmm. The function of that person. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. Character. Yes. Identity, character, function. Anybody else? Maybe two or more. Personality traits.
Something chosen by someone else.
It's an identifier. Someone else online?
I said something chosen by someone else to identify.
Something chosen by someone else. All right. That's deep. It is all that. It is all that. It's a way to identify or address someone. It's our functions, but often in the Bible, it represents authority. Authority. That is what the name, and it's synonymous with another word, which you could say title, right? I'm going to give you some examples here. Authority. A neurosurgeon has the authority to conduct neurosurgery. A pilot has the authority to fly. A teacher has the authority to teach. A mechanic has the authority to work on vehicles. A doctor has the authority to prescribe medication. A dentist has the authority to work on your teeth. these individuals have these names, these titles. What's in a name? They have these names that are given to them that give them the authority to function in the proper way that is described within their duties. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the authority that these individuals have. Now think of Romans 8:16, where it says we are children of God. That's our name. That's our name. That's our title. So think about that. Think about being a child. What authority that gives, that brings. I want you to think about in Romans 8:17. The Bible reminds us that we are a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir with Christ. An heir, heir, heir of God. Royalty in the lineage spiritually of God Almighty that we just sang about. And John 15:15 reminds us that we are a friend of God. And I'm saying these words, and it's, I know sometimes it's in this moment, it's hard to sometimes remember and focus on that. But when we really reflect on what I just said, that we are friends, that we are children, that we are royalty, that we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. What an amazing amount of authority we have being in the family of God. Amen? What amazing authority, right? I almost want to ask another question, but because I want us to really see what those who have children will understand, right? You'll understand. You have children, right? What do you do for them?
Everything.
I see. I was waiting for a bullet point, a bulleted list, like, take them to their appointments, and I take care of them, and I provide for them financially. But my cousin here just said, you know what? I want to answer for everyone. And I do everything. And so if we in the natural will do everything, what's left? Everything. That's the heart of a mother. That's the heart of a parent. That I will do anything for the well-being of my child. And our God said, I'm even above what your natural parents can do. So God, since my cousin says she does everything for her children, you told me to test me. You said, test me, try me. We see all these words, prove this, prove that. So that means you'll do more than everything for me. So now I understand where the Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly. See, he took your everything and he tripled it exponentially. He said, I will do everything and exceedingly, but then I'm going to go above that and do abundantly. I'm going to go above that and do above all. He said, because Deanna, everything ain't enough for my children. I go three times your everything. Now what you got? That's our God. That's our Father. He's not a God of just enough. Come on. Who are we serving? He's not a God that wants you to just squeak on by. Like I'm in the ring, barely getting to him, trying to tap his hand and I can't reach. Crawling and through the muck and the mire and bloody. That's not our God. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And he said what? That you might have it more abundantly. I love that word. Abundantly. Are we feeling this? I told you, I ain't got 4 hours of sleep. So it's so keep praying. Keep praying for me because I pray that the word that he gave me comes across unfiltered into the hearts. The Bible says that the word will go out, it will go forth, and it will not return unto him void. It won't return void, but it will go and accomplish that which it is set to do. It will accomplish. Sometimes regardless, that's why Paul said, it doesn't matter that some of these preachers are preaching for gain and finances and to get this acclaim and prestige and to get these big television ministries. He said, that's not my focus. And he said, yet, even though they're preaching that way, if Christ is being preached, he said, then I'm rejoicing in that because the message is going forth. And I'm not focused on the messenger. See, we do that. We focus on the messenger more than the message sometimes, but the message is what's most important. I'm going to share a story. And it might trigger some of you. I believe I shared this before. This happened years ago in Barberton. And I was on my way to a gym out there at the time. It's called Faith. Faith Gym was the name of the gym. And yeah, just having a great day, you know, just probably listening to worship music in the car on my way to get a workout in and meet some friends. And I remember there was this gentleman, and I don't remember all the details of kind of like, you know, things happen and I let them go. But I remember there were these guys in this car and they were tailing me. And it was probably at 35 mile per hour, but they were all up on the bumper and then they went over to the other side and went around and the guy was cutting me off, right? So he was 100% in the wrong, right? I'm going the speed limit just, you know, down the street. And I look in the car and the guy is just, you know, I don't judge physically. He's covered in tattoos and shirts off in the car. And he looks over me and he says, "You stupid." Then he says an expletive, right? Okay, yeah, the one that starts with A, but I don't want you to, you know. And then he says the N-word. I know. Right. And, you know, and I was having a great day. I was having a great day, and this happened, and immediately inside, I got angry, right? Was that? Well, right, there you go. It's pushing me. Got angry. And I wasn't, you know, what was the, I could have followed him, right? That's not in me. That just, you know, you don't return, you don't give to darkness more darkness, right? Right? The Lord teaches us that. You don't repay evil with more evil. Right? You repay evil with what? Right. And since we are the light, okay, how I look as a minister, chasing this guy down in my car to yell back at him. So I let him go, and I was angry for a moment, but then I realized something. I'm not any of those three words he called me. And I said, so why am I getting angry? And so by the time I got to the gym, which was only maybe a 5-10 minute drive from where I was cool. And I told my friend what happened, and I said, and he was like, yeah. I said, but listen, I said, on my way here, I started praying for him. I said, because clearly, did y'all hear what I said? I said, I started praying for him because clearly something was off on the inside. Right. See, I can understand that when people act out. I always say this, it's a secular phrase, but it's actually rooted in scripture. I say, hurting people hurt people. Healed people help to heal people. And not that we're complete, but we are in that process, amen, of becoming more and more like Christ. Paul said, what? Follow me as I what? So I prayed for this gentleman. And it wasn't one of those, okay, I'm just going to pray so I can tell people I'm holy and I'm going to share this story in church later. But it was a sincere prayer. And that changed. Uncle Will says, Pastor Will says this all the time. Prayer may not change the situation, but it will change you. Situation, that guy may have never changed. I pray that he did. I pray that he found the Lord. Because that's what I was praying for. That he finds God's love, that he finds and gets that relationship with the Lord. But it struck me then that, listen, he called me by three. He said, stupid. And I said, okay, well, that definitely ain't me. He said the archaic term for donkey. And I said, that ain't me. Definitely not that. And he said the other word that we all know. And I said, well, that ain't me either. I mean, in Spanish, yeah, close, negro, that's the term black, that's different.
teach, nephew, teach.
But I said, but still, I'm not that. And so if you take anything from today's word, when your past, when your struggles, when your situations begin to call you by old names, remember your new name. Remember your new names. See, because if the enemy comes against me, I can't just say, well, I'm Tim. He's like, okay. What is that? Well, you remember the story, and I'm trying to take a long time, but you remember the story where they were followers of Christ, and they got beat up. They were trying to cast this demon out of somebody. Yes. And he said, Paul, I know, right? He said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? I'm Tim. And so when these situations come against us, we don't use the natural to fight back. We can speak and proclaim who we truly are. When these things come against us, we can say, no, listen, I am the head and not. I am above only and not. I am the light. I am the salt of the earth. I am God's elect. I am royalty. I am of a royal lineage, royal priesthood. I'm a joint heir. I'm an heir of God. See, that's what we need to remember, is that when we are called, and I love what Paul, when you have a chance, read Romans 7, and then I want you to read Romans 8, because it's kind of like two different Pauls, it seems like. And it's not, but it seems like it. But then there's a scripture in there that he says, but I thank God through Jesus. And it's almost like that but God moment. He says, all of Romans 7, this warring in my members, and I'm, oh, wretched man that I am. And he goes on and on and on and talks about all these things that I'm, you know, bound in the flesh, and I'm trying to live by the law. And he's, but then everything flips. And by the time we get to Romans 8, he says, there is therefore what? Now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He said, because we're no longer bound by the law. We're no longer bound by the flesh. We're no longer servants. He said, you don't have the spirit of fear. And so when those Romans 7 type of situations begin to call you, when the anger from your past begins to want to creep up on the inside, that's not who you are. Remind that who you truly are. When depression begins to creep up on the inside, that's not me. That used to be me. That was my Romans 7 me. But that ain't me. I'm Romans 8 now. This is who I am. I understand that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Drugs and alcohol and all these things and lust and all these things that would try to call you and say, no, this is who you are. It's like, I'm not that person anymore. For I am transformed. That I am living a new life with new names. And I love that. I think that was Sister Anderson that said, it's something that someone else calls you. I love that. I love it. Because this is everything that God calls us. And there's so many more descriptors. I would actually maybe issue a challenge to go through the Word from Genesis to Revelation and find all the beautiful things God has to say about who we truly are, so that we have a rebuttal. Anytime something would pop into our minds, someone would say something verbally that doesn't line up. Can't receive that. Why? Because this is who I am. I can't act like that. Why? Because I have a new nature. I have a new name. I don't get upset about the little things like I used to get upset about, because I have a higher calling. I pray that this word, as it is doing in me and is continuing to work in me, I pray that it is something that we take to heart. Because I think sometimes what happens is that, and this is my, I'm including myself in this, because we are so blessed and fortunate in a sense to have messages every Sunday and Wednesdays and throughout the week, I think we sometimes take each one for granted. But if we were in a different place where we could only get to the word or hear the word maybe once a month or once, think about that, once every couple months, maybe once a year, where we could gather, where we had to walk on a journey, 12, 15, 20, 30, 70 plus miles to hear the word of the Lord and then walk back, how much more would we hold fast to that word that was shared? We would hang on every word. We would just allow it to penetrate our souls, our hearts. And so I'm praying that for me. And I'm praying that for you as well. That's all I have. God bless you.